Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 4, Verse 26. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. When one's consciousness is completely purified of the contamination of material existence, gross and subtle, without being agitated as in the working and dreaming states, and when the mind is not dissolved, as in sushupti, deep sleep, one comes to the platform of trance. Then, one's material vision and the memories of the mind, which manifest names and forms, are vanquished. Only in such a trance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed. Thus, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seen in that uncontaminated transcendental state. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are two stages of God realization. One is called sugyayam, or very easily understood generally by mental speculation. And the other is called durgyayam, understood only with difficulty. Paramatma realization and Brahman realization are considered sugyayam, which means easily understood. But realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is durgyayam, difficult. As described here, one attains the ultimate realization of the Personality of Godhead when one gives up the activities of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. Or in other words, when mental speculation stops. This transcendental realization is above sushupti, deep sleep. In our gross conditional stage, we perceive things through material experience and remembrance. And in the subtle stage, we perceive the world in dreams. The process of vision also involves remembrance and also exists in a subtle form. Above gross experience and dreams is sushupti, deep sleep. And when one comes to the completely spiritual platform, transcending deep sleep, he attains trance, Vishuddha Sattva, or Vasudeva Sattva, in which the Personality of Godhead is revealed. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayamindre. As long as one is situated in duality, on the sensual platform, gross or subtle, realization of the original Personality of Godhead is impossible. Sevan mukhehi jivado swayameva svaratyadha. But when one engages his senses in the service of the Lord, specifically when one engages the tongue in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and tasting only Krishna prasad with a spirit of service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed. This is indicated in this verse by the words Shuchi Sadmane. Shuchi means purified. By the spirit of rendering service with one's senses, one's entire existence becomes Shuchi Sadma, the platform of uncontaminated purity. Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Jai Sri Sri Radha Shamasa. Here in Ahamsaguya prayers, therefore, Daksha offers his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is revealed on the platform of Shuchi Sadma. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following prayer from Bhagavatam 10.14.6. Tatapi bhuman mahmi agunasya tevi bodham arhat yamalantaratmati. One whose heart has become completely purified, my Lord, can understand the transcendental qualities of your Lordship. and can understand the greatness of your activities. This is completely purified of the contamination of material existence, gross and subtle, without being agitated as in the working and dreaming states, and when the mind is not dissolved as in Sushupti, deep sleep, one comes to the platform of trance. Then, one's material vision and the memories of the mind, which manifest names and forms, are vanquished. Only in such a trance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed. Thus, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seen in that uncontaminated transcendental state. Daksha is explaining different states of reality, material reality, gross and subtle, and how that these states are not sufficient positions to see the Lord, to actually have darshan, the Lord. When one is awake and moving in the world, the senses are interacting with the mind and the reservoir of desires stored within the heart, and the combination of these senses and objects and desires create the waking state of existence, which propels the living entity on the path of illusion and repeated birth and death. So on that platform, on that path of waking existence, it is not possible to see God. One will always see punarbhava, repeated birth and death. He will only see the sights that he wanted to see in his last life. We will only meet the people that we wanted to meet and only engage in the activities that we wanted to engage in due to our previous meetings and previous activities. Path of karma. And Daksha is saying you can't see the Lord there. You can't see Krishna there because that's the impure state of existence. That's a contaminated state. And then when one takes rest at night, then he dreams. So actually, dreaming and waking are the same. Because in dreaming, what happens? Your reservoir of material desires manifest on a subtle platform, and you have your subtle senses, your subtle eyes, and your subtle hands, and your subtle tongue. Everything is there. And you're having experience in the dreams of your karma. Your karma is being acted out there also, in the dreams. That's why you have particular dreams, because there's karmic desires. So you can't see the Lord there either. You can't see the Lord on the subtle platform, as he's saying, on the gross or the subtle platform. So when one's dreaming on the mode of passion, he's also living out his karma. He's also living out his karma. He gets in fights. He has engagements with people, illicit, he steals things, whatever. All this goes on. That is karma, propelling those dreams. That is also illusion. And one cannot see the Lord there. Because in that dreaming state and in that waking state, there's only one enjoyer. There's only one center of all activities, and that's us, me. I am the God of my dreams. I am the God of my world. There's no room to see the real God. There's no room in that mind during dreaming state. There's no room in our eyes during our waking state to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead when this illusion is there. This illusory concept that I am the enjoyer, that I am God. So then he explains one other state called Susupti. He says the deep sleep. Because in regular dreaming state, regular sleep, which most people engage in, they have dreams. Their sleep is not very deep. So sleeping on the platform of this passion, one has so many dreams. And so many activities go on there. But then there's a deeper state than that, where one is not even dreaming. One is in absolute ignorance. One is totally cut off and totally in ignorance. It's like suspended animation. There's nothing, there's no consciousness, no awareness of the senses or the body. And you can't see the Lord there either. That's total ignorance, total forgetfulness. So he's saying how to see the Lord. You see the Lord in a pure state. When this same mind, and the same mind and intelligence becomes pure. Sometimes people will meet us in India, and when we're preaching, and they say, "So Swamiji, you've been following, how many years you're following this bhakti path?" "Oh, so many years are there." "So Swamiji, so what are your dreams?" What are you dreaming of? When you take rest tonight, what are your dreams? If you don't mind, if you don't mind me asking, what do you dream about? So then you may reveal or not, depending on how honest you are at the time, the nature of your mystery tours of the mind at night. You may mention or you may guard it as a secret. At any rate, regardless of what it is, if it's transcendental, you may guard it out of humility. Or if it's abominable, you may guard it out of embarrassment. Either way, the content of your dreams you may guard. You may not reveal to someone because it may be transcendental. And you may be shy and not want to reveal. Or it may be horrible and you're embarrassed to say. We may be embarrassed to say what we're dreaming of at night. But then the conversation proceeds, depending on whatever you say. But Swamiji, actually, a yogi is supposed to dream of Brahman. He's supposed to dream of the Paramatma. He's supposed to see his Ishtadev. You said your Ishtadev is Radharani and Krishna. So you're supposed, this is what you're supposed to see, Swamiji, when you're dreaming. All right, I'm trying. we're trying. So in this way, they're pointing out the impurity of the mind, that actually, this is the position of the purified mind, that purified souls like Srila Prabhupada, when they dream of their spiritual master. And their spiritual master is speaking to them, come, take sannyas. Come, Abhay, take sannyas. So this is the mind of the pure devotee. The spiritual master is speaking there, teaching there, instructing, guiding, inspiring, encouraging. What to speak of the Lord, your Ishtadev, especially the pujaris. Prabhupada says that deity service gives the devotee a great opportunity to become completely purified, to completely purify his mind and senses by always touching the form of the Lord and meditating on their service, meditating on their festivals, and how to enhance the dressing. Day and night, when he's on the altar, he's absorbed. When he's off the altar, he's absorbed. Oh, tomorrow is Tuesday, or tomorrow is Tuesday, the deities wear red. I mean, in Vrindavan, they wear red, or the different colors according to days. So then that pujari may be thinking, oh, which red outfit will I use? And this way, even off the altar, his mind is absorbed. So when the absorption, especially by this deity service, of course chanting, Prabhupada mentions, by doing deity service, one's senses and mind become very quickly purified. That pujari may very often have a dream. And in that dream, who will he see? He will see Krishna Balaram. He will see Jagannath. He will see Radhashyamasundara, Radhagokulananda, Radhamadhav. And they will tell him something. Just like one pujari in Mayapur. Every day when he went in to wake up the deity in the Sringadev, Ugra and the Sringa, he would go in to open the doors and turn on one light, some bright light. And when he turned that light on, it went right in Lord Nisringadev's face. It was aimed in such a way. So then one night, he was taking rest in the pujari room and he had a dream. He didn't know whether it was a dream, was because he explained it, it seemed to be he was conscious. He had a dream, someone was shaking him. And he was asleep and someone was shaking him. And then he woke up. And so he felt that he had left his dream state and he was conscious. And there standing in the pujari room was Lord Nisringadev. You know, with all eight arms. And he was not so happy. And a gaping mouth and flaming red eyes like burning cinders and long nails. And he was standing there and he says, look, don't come in the room. Don't come in my room in the morning and turn that light on my face, will you? So, this is a very purified soul born in Gordham, Pajari, and serving very diligently and faithfully Lord Nisringadev. So Lord Nisringadev appeared to him and gave him a very strong message. So from that day on, he was very careful to turn on some secondary lights so he wouldn't disturb the Lord in his waking pastime. So like this, pujaris have had the experience where the Lord will appear to them, or other devotees who are absorbed. So this is the goal, and that begins with, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, which he often, when he meets people, they say, show me God! I want to see God. And the verse is talking about seeing God. You can't see God in the dreams. You can't see God in deep sleep. You can't see God with your material eyes. But you see God with a pure heart and spiritual eyes. So people in the material world, they base their reality and their conviction and their whole worldview on what they can see. Seeing is believing. If I can't see it, it doesn't exist. So therefore, they want to see God. If I see God, then He exists. So Prabhupada would often challenge, what is your power to see? You can't even see a big man of this world without an appointment or without qualification. If you want to see the Prime Minister, you have to have qualification. And what is that qualification? You have to be also a minister. Minister of Parliament, Minister of Finance, and then you can very easily get appointment. If you're some businessman, practically impossible. So there's qualification required for darshan. To have a visit or have a meeting with some big person, you need qualification or adhikar. And the same thing, you need qualification or adhikar to see God. So then he would say, to everyone's surprise, seeing God begins not with the eyes, which is our experience from all our time in the material world, we always see with our eyes, but seeing God begins with the tongue, jiva. Jiva do, sevan mukehi jiva do. Ado means beginning, like adi lila. So sevan mukehi jiva do, that seeing God begins by seva, by service with what? Serving with the eyes? No, serving with the tongue. What type of service? Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabavegra Mindrayi Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Spuratyada means spurti. Spurti means vision. You want a vision of God. You want to see God. And a devotee should be motivated like that. We should want to see God. And the most elevated devotees like Shukadev, Goswami, Narada Muni, and Vyas, they are Mahabhagavats. They are pure souls. It's interesting, Vishwanath Chakravarti explains how they're seeing God. Because we see the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 6, verse 30, it says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashyati. He says, Krishna's telling in the yoga chapter, for one who sees me everywhere, Sarvam, and sees everything in me, I am never lost, and he is never lost to me. So now, sometimes people may think that such a person, when he becomes so elevated and so pure, then he sees Krishna, Sham Sundar, Lalitam Niyata Prakasham, Sri Banga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham, Sham Sundar, playing his flute everywhere. Wherever he looks, he just sees Sham, 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 Sham. Of course, some devotees are like that. Srimati Radharani is like that. They're always seeing Sham, and Sham, Radharani's favorite things are anything that's black. Anything that's black or Sham color is favorite of Radharani, because it reminds her of her beloved Lord, Sham Sundar. The Kalindi is very favorite of hers, Kalindi. The Jamuna is black, and when she sees the Jamuna's Sham color, she thinks of Sham. When she sees the Gana, the clouds, she thinks Gana Sham. When she sees the black deer, Radharani has pet deer and they're black, she thinks Sham. And when her sakis are preparing musk, kasturi, to make some dot on her chin, they decorate her chin. Radharani's chin is like the petal of a golden lotus flower, or like the petal of a champak flower, a golden champak, with a bumblebee on it. Our kavis explain that Radharani's chin looks like the petal of a golden champak flower with a black bumblebee sitting on it. That black bumblebee is the musk. Musk is a black substance, black, cosmetic, kasturi. So this is on her chin. So when she sees that, she thinks of Sham. Or when they make kajal. Kajal for Radharani is what we call mascara, and puts around her eyes. It is simply like this black kajal around Radharani's eye is like a black dam. It's like a dam. A dam holds back the water. It's like in Delhi, there's a dam to hold back the blue waters of the Yamuna. So this mascara, this black mascara around Radharani's eyes is like a dam holding back the blue ocean of her Sham Prem. Her eyes are like a blue ocean because Radharani's eyes are Nila Lochana. Nila Lochana means her eyes are blue. They're Sham blue, like the deep ocean, because she's always seeing Sham in her eyes. And so this black kajal, it also reminds her of Sham. And so many things. And she likes, her favorite time of the day is nighttime. She doesn't like the day so much. She likes the nighttime, which is dark, Sham. Just like in Hindi, we say night, when night comes, we say Shamko. And then later it's Ratko. So Shamko, every day someone's saying, when are you going to meet me? Shamko, Shamko, Satvajay Shamko, isn't it? So people are in India are always talking about Sham, Sham, Shamko, Shamko, Shamko. Meet me in the evening. So the evening time is very favorite of Radharani. So she has such purity of heart and mind that she is always seeing Sham everywhere. So when Narada and Vyas and Shukamuni are described as Mahabhagavats, as Uttama Adhikaris, and always seeing the Lord everywhere, and they are the embodiments and the exemplars of this verse from Bhagavad Gita 6:30, of always seeing me everywhere and seeing everything in me, how are they seeing? Are they seeing Shamasundar everywhere? No. Vishwanath explains that the Lord only occasionally appears to Shukadeva. Sometimes he sees him. Or Narada Muni, he saw the Lord once. He only had darshan, sakshat darshan of the Lord once. But he's Mahabhagavat, pure devotee. His mind is totally pure. He meets the characteristics being described in this verse of a suitable person to see the Lord. And the same with Vyas. So Vishwanath explains, Vishwanath Chakravartipad, he explains that they're always seeing the Lord means they're always hankering. Their mind is completely pure, and yes, they have had darshan at least once. They have seen the Lord at least once. But their overall attitude, their pervading mentality and thinking and desiring is that we want to see the Lord everywhere. We want to see our worshipful Ishtadev everywhere. Just as the Pujari saw his Ishtadev, his worshipful Lord in the dream, the Sringadev. So they want to see their worshipful Lord. So this is what it means when one attains a state of purity. It's not that he can't function. He's driving down the road in a Sankirtan vehicle and he's a pure devotee. And say they're pure devotees, or say some devotee is pure. It's not that they're driving down the Autobahn in Switzerland or something. All they're seeing is Sham in front of the windshield. How would they drive? How would they drive the car if all they saw was Rup, the form of Sham everywhere? Mirabai sings one nice song in Hindi. I can't remember the song, but I know the song. It was translated once. And Maduram Maduram Sham. She says, everywhere is my sweet Sham. It's Maduram Maduram Sham. Like that. And it's very sweet, very nice song. She sings about, she's seeing everywhere her Sham. Because she had this mood. So it's not like that. But it's that within this mind, within the heart, the devotee is always holding the form of the Lord. Because of his purity, he's attained purity, free from all material contamination. That the Lord is always dancing in his heart. Or like Prabhupada said, the Lord will dance on our tongues. The Lord will dance on our tongues when we chant purely. So the Lord will take residence there. So he won't block our vision. We'll be able to move in the world. Just like in Vrindavan, there are many pure devotees moving here and there. But they have no difficulty in not stumbling at every step and falling into wells in the fields and running into buses or... No, they're quite careful and cautious. Sometimes they may go into some uncontrollable states of euphoria, but generally they don't exhibit that publicly. So this ultimate goal of a devotee's life, to always be in the presence of the Lord and to always be seeing the Lord within and without, begins with this platform of Seva Mukhehi Jiva. So this word Seva, a very interesting word, because there's one word that comes from that Sevaka. A Sevaka. And Sevaka means, like we have in the Krishna book, there is a type of one demon called Bakasura. Buck is one stork? Like a stork? He's a water bird, water and land bird. Very big bird, has a big beak. He's a big nose, like beak. And he tried to catch Krishna in his beak and kill him. But Krishna split him in half. So this word sevaka, it means the word sevaka means this type of bird. It also, another word for bhaka is sevaka. It means this kind of devious bird. So if someone is posing himself as sevaka and sevaka, so if one is a sevaka, it means one who's trying to serve his spiritual master. But if he serves with a cheating mentality, because these birds are like a cheating type, they represent this anartha of cheating and deception. So we want to be sevakas, we want to do seva, we want to serve our spiritual master with a pure attitude. It's mentioned here in the purport we read, it talked about the attitude. When one takes prasadam, which is sevan mukhe, he serves by taking the prasadam, and he chants the Hare Krishna mantra, which is also serving with the jiva. The jiva, the tongue, is tasting prasadam and vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra. But how should you do it? You should do it with a spirit of service. There must be a spirit of service. And there's another phrase Prabhupada uses, spirit of service. So this attitude must be, the spirit of service means that one doesn't want anything from the spiritual master for themselves. No material position or fame or prosperity. Doesn't want anything. But sometimes disciples, they come behind the spiritual master, they take initiation, and they become these sevak. They become a sevak or a bhakta. They become, because they have cheating mentality. They have deception in their heart. They actually want something material. Just like sometimes people come to a spiritual society, women will come looking for a husband. Prabhupada says like that in the Vedic Indian culture, not so much in the West, but in the Vedic culture, some Indian lady, she'll be thinking, oh, if I marry a saint and have a child by him, I'll have a very good child. He'll be very powerful and very intelligent and very pious, and then he will do religious activities and he will liberate us. So they have some personal motivation. So the Prabhupada says sometimes they come. And then he said they frequent holy places like Prayag or Vrindavan or Mathura or Hardware or any place. These type of ladies with this material mentality, with this contaminated idea, this selfish idea of marrying this long hair and a big beard. He must be a big saint. So then they seduce him. So it's a perfect example of the cheaters and the cheated. The man was materially motivated and contaminated, and the woman was too, so they came together in this position. Prabhupada tells this story on tape. So sometimes disciples, they have this mood, this sevaka. It is not a pure mood of service. So this, if one does not have the pure mood of service, then one will not become purified. And one cannot actually have the reaction or have the response or the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna or taking prasadam. One can chant Hare Krishna for thousands of lifetimes and take prasadam for thousands of lifetimes, but if he doesn't have the spirit of service, the purification will be practically nil, very, very less. So I probably always mention spirit of service. The spirit, what does this mean, spirit of service? Because service can only be on the spiritual platform. So I probably say spirit of service, because there's no question of the matter of service. There's matter and spirit, right? The material energy is matter. And there's spiritual energy. So there's no question of the matter of service. There's no service in the material world. It's only exploitation of degree. Family exploitation, economic exploitation, exploitation of nature, nothing but exploitation in the material world. So you can't say the matter of service. You can only say the spirit of service. Because service is the service mentality. Is the energy of the soul. When the soul becomes uncovered, then this light of the soul begins to emanate. And the light has characteristics, or you can say fire has characteristics, heat and light. So the fire of bhakti, it has characteristics of heat and light. And one of the characteristics of bhakti is service, not exploitation. So such a disciple is actually awakening a pure service mentality. He wants to serve the spiritual master purely. He does not want to exploit for any personal desire or ambition or goal. So this is actually seva. And sometimes we hear someone say, oh, do some seva, Prabhu. And then the Prabhu will say, all right, I'll do some seva. But what percentage do I get? Or do I get maintenance? Do I get this and that? And I need a little more. So this is the bhakasura, bhakta. Bhakta bhak. Like, you know, the word bhakta, if you take bhakta and take off the TA, you have bhak. Right? Bhakta. So bhak is bhakasura, and the word bhaka means sevak. And sevak means this stork, this deceptive, cheating mentality. And this must be destroyed by chanting the holy name and by sincerely pulling that out of our heart, then anartha. So to see the Lord, we can at least take the example of Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasa and Narad, who had of course attained the pure position of eligibility to see the Lord by perfecting their bhakti and by serving the saints. But when they came to that platform of having qualification, have darshan of the Lord, then their day-to-day, moment-to-moment meditation was, when will I see the Lord again? Where is my Lord? Where is my Lord? So we have not come to the platform of qualifying ourselves with sufficient purity of heart or mind to have darshan of the Lord. We're doing Atak Sri Krishna Namadi, we're doing Nam. Nam Adi, we're doing the Nam, we're chanting the name, serving the name, we're trying to serve the name, and trying to serve prasadam once in a while. Usually it's like, Hari Bo! We just take prasadam with no spirit of service. But gradually we're coming to that platform. But this principle we can employ in our day-to-day bhajan, in our day-to-day practice of Krishna consciousness, cultivating the eagerness to see Radha and Krishna, cultivating the desire to see them. Because when one becomes a Mahabhagavat, he has that desire purely. You know, as we heard from this example, Vishnu Chakravarti. So what we perform in our sadhana becomes our sadhya. Our practice becomes our goal. What do you want? What is your goal of life? Oh, well, love of God. What does love of God mean? It means seeing Radha and Krishna. It means serving them. It means being with them. So many things. And with Gurudev and everything. So all these are features of the goal of every devotee. These aspects, in other words, the goal of our life, the goal of our bhajan, has threads. It has threads that connect to the first day of our bhajan, or the second day. It is a continuum. It is a continuous practice. It isn't that you're just kind of wandering around aimlessly and doing some devotion, all of a sudden you end up there. You end up at the goal, at the right place. No, everything must be very focused, very, very focused. So by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing the prayers of the acharyas, and we can start to mold our life and our mind and our activities towards the proper goal, the sambandha and prayojan. Prayojan is in sambandha, because the sambandha explains the goal of life, and then Navideya is how to attain it. So this is some lesson we can derive from this particular verse, as Prabhupada is talking about seeing the Lord. And the verse is about where you can't see and how you can't see God. But how can you see God? So we must take this example and begin this cultivating this desire. It's not a selfish desire. Just to want to see God. Because we will see God. When we're purified, we will see God. Who will you see? Who do you want to see? Do you want to see Krishna and Balaram when you read the Krishna book, or you see the beautiful deities? You just want to see them at 7:15 and forget about them for the rest of the day and look at your wife and husband and friends and girlfriends, boyfriends, and look at the monkeys of Vrindavan and the deer and the, or whatever, not the deer, but the monkeys, donkeys, and dogs. No, we want to see them there and everywhere. For one who sees me everywhere, I am never lost to him, and he is never lost to me. If there's any questions or comments? You don't see a sadhu with your eyes, you see a sadhu with your ears. Prabhupada said you can judge a man by what he says and by what he does. His sadachar and his prachar. Sanatana Goswami, when he met with Haridas, he said, Haridas, you are the best of sadhus. You are Parama Vaishnava. And Haridas is just hanging his head in humility and pleased. No, I must proclaim this truth. And that truth is announced in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I must proclaim this truth to the world. Although you're born in a Muslim family, apparently with durachar, bad behavior, and no, what can you preach, you're Muslim. But now you're exhibiting sadachar, perfect behavior. Perfect behavior. And your prachar, your preaching is excellent, super excellent. Exactly according to Vedic Siddhanta, Gaudiya Siddhanta. So then Sanatana Goswami glorified Haridas. He said, some people, they behave very nicely, but they don't preach. And other people, they preach like anything, but they behave like nothing. They preach like everything and they behave like nothing. No proper behavior. But you, my dear Haridas, you are a master of both. You're an exemplar of both. You are perfect in sadachar, perfect in behavior. And you are perfect in prachar, in preaching. So this is the definition of a sadhu. Tatikshva kurunika suridasa vadeyanam In the third canto of Bhagavatam, there's a verse there. He's tolerant, he's pure, he's a friend to all. Sarubhushanam. In the last line it says, Saru Tikshva Kurunika Surida Savadehina Ajata Shatravo Shanto Sarva Sarubhushanam. He says that the sadhu has sadhu bhushanam. Bhushanam means ornaments, decorations like earrings and necklaces and rings and that. So a materialist, he's decorated with asura bhushanam. Asura bhushanam, all the decorations of a demon. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, siddham balavansuki. He has all the mental decorations of a demon. I am powerful, I am great, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, I am strong. Those are the internal decorations of the demon. Asura bhav, in 16th chapter of Gita. And then externally he has all the decorations. Gold necklaces and gold rings and gold bangles and everything. You know, and big fancy clothes and so many things. And then, but his mentality, everything is completely demoniac. So a devotee has ornaments. He has ornaments. Tolerance, humility, pridelessness, purity, all these ornaments are there. In fact, it's explained by Krishna's Kaviraj that Vaishnav Siddhanta, the conclusion and perfection of Vaishnav philosophy, is established not by prachar, but by sarachar. The behavior of the Vaishnavas, the proper, clean, pure, exemplary behavior of the devotees of the Lord is the way that the Siddhanta, or the perfection and conclusion of our philosophy, is established and broadcast and spread throughout the world. You can say anything, but your behavior speaks louder than words. And they say, they have this expression, action speaks louder than words. So that means behavior. Someone says, he knows 5,000 shlokas, and he just quotes like anything, and then when he gets with the devotees, he pushes the devotees down the stairs, steals their prasadam, you know, runs off with their wife or something. But he knows so many shlokas, he gives such a great class. He should speak, he should give class. No. This is not. Sanatana Goswami is glorifying Haridas because you're perfect in behavior and you're perfect in Siddhanta. So this is sadhu. This, of course, is Mahatmana is very rare, Sudurlava. Very, very rare to find Sudurlava, to find such a sadhu. But we found Srila Prabhupada and his followers are exhibiting his qualities, his disciples and his grand disciples. They're also becoming sadhus. So you come to this Sangha, or where you hear, where you see someone who meets these characteristics, and that's sadhu. Pure behavior and realized speaking. Pure realized speaking on the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness. Another question? Upendranath Prabhu, our God brother, he presented a point and a question. Our Srila Prabhupada would often quote his Guru Maharaj by saying, "Don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you." That's a very nice verse or statement because it supports what's the point that's in the air right now. Because that also supports the point of behavior. Act in such a way, behave in such a way, perfectly and purely and cleanly, that Krishna will want to see you. So that's a nice support for what you just said. If you want to see Krishna, then behave in such a way. This is like this. If you want to see Krishna, be a perfect gentleman, a spiritual gentleman. And then, so the question is, how do we resolve this point with what the speaker said in class, that we should try to see Krishna? What we're saying is, not going against that point, we definitely should act in such a way, acting in such a way to see Krishna. In other words, what Prabhupada didn't want is that devotees think, well, Krishna's in Vrindavan. I'll run to Vrindavan and try to see Krishna. I want to see Krishna, so I run to Vrindavan. He must be there. I'll go to see Gauranga in Mayapur. He must be there in Navadvipa, because they say he's there. So I'll look for him. So, and you'll leave your service, you'll abandon your service and give up the order of your spiritual master in pursuit of your whimsical ambition to see the Lord. That is not wanted. So that's why he said, act in such a way. Always, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Koriya Aikya. Your Aikya, there should be one desire to open my consciousness, Chite, should become purified by the Guru Mukha, by the words coming from my Guru's mouth. I should always be under his order and under his shelter. Then I'll attain purity. Then I will see Krishna. Not that I run off independently or whimsically or rebelliously. I run off away from his order and out of his shelter, propelled or inspired by a whimsical idea to see the Lord. That should not be done. We should always be dutiful and faithful to our line of service. But while doing that, There's nowhere where Prabhupada says, and in many places he says, you should think within our minds. We should desire. Desire is a hope. It's a siddhi lalasa. It is the inner hankering of the progressive devotee for perfection. It is the inner thinking of the devotee. He wants to see, when will that day? Kabe habe bolo sedanamar. There's hundreds of prayers. When will that day come when I see the Lord? Our acharyas, our mahajans, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they write so many songs. And when will we see the Lord? When will he have his service? So this type of thinking must descend upon us. We must start to sprout these type of ideas and start to think like this. But all the time, externally, going on book distribution or going doing deity service or cooking for the deities or cleaning the temple, whatever. But our mind is our friend or our enemy. So a mind directed and pointed in this direction, a mind submitted, a mind surrendered to this type of thinking is a friend. So we want to make friends, we want to make an alliance, a friendly alliance with our mind. So this is the point, to harmonize these two ideas. Yeah, this eagerness is utsaha. Be eager. And eagerness takes the form of a desire. Like, because desire is something like a fire. You know? Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajaguna, Samudbhavaha. Kam, Krod, Lobh, they're burned like a fire in the heart. Well, fire doesn't have only one size. Fire comes in many sizes. How much fuel you put on it, how much wood, it comes small or big. So the fire of lust can be little. When you're very pure, there's very little fire of lust. When you're very contaminated, big, big fire, burning your eyes, burning your mind, burning your hands, burning your fingers, your body, your skin is tingling with the fire of lust. If you're Ravana or someone, or like him in his line. So these contaminations are there. But the devotee, so desire has that nature. Desire takes on this quality of fire. It's compared to fire. So in the same way, this sankalpa, this spiritual sankalpa, this resolve, sankalpa means resolve, or this determination, I must get this, I must attain this, that is a desire, I want this. So it starts off as a tiny little match. Little match. I want the eternal loving service of Radha and Shyama Sundar. Little beep, 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 beep. Then a wind blows. And weeks go by, months go by. You never think about it. You never have that thought again. And that desire has been extinguished by the fire of lust or greed or material attachment. And then again, during an introspective moment of deep chanting or surrendered moment, maybe a little alligator tear comes, like alligators have these wet eyes all the time. A little tear comes, and then a little softening of the heart, and then you think, oh yes, I really must. I must get out of this world once and for all. I must give up this world, this family, friends, just give it up, and attain a loving service of Radha and Krishna. And that goes on for a few days, and then again, a whole family, bills, problems, this, that, this guy, that guy, he said this, and she said that, and where's my prasadam, and this and that. So that desire gets snuffed out. But that desire, as we cultivate that desire, we start to put the fuel on it. We put wood on that fire. What is that wood? The wood is cultivation. Hearing about that desire, hearing about the loving service of Radha and Krishna, reading about it, seeing the deities more and praying more, we're starting to throw wood in that desire. And that desire becomes bigger and bigger. It becomes a candle, and then a kerosene lamp, and then a little wooden fire, a stove fire, and then a bonfire, and then it's a raging, you know, forest fire. And that's the example of the acharyas. So desire has to start somewhere, and we have to fuel that desire with our concentration, with our meditation, directing our prayers. That's why all those bhajans are there. When will that day be mine? Who are those bhajans for? Prarthana. Prabhupada loved Prarthana. So many songs in our songbook by Prarthana. In the Bengali songbook in Iskan Mayapur, there's 30 songs from Prarthana. We have two. So this is these are some lessons from this verse. Any other question?
It is like seen.
Yes.
To have a realization.
The devotee is asking a question. If one is having realizations in the course of his execution of Krishna consciousness, is that equivalent or equal to seeing Krishna?
Yes.
Is that what your question
yes.
is? In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions in one purport that the intelligence is the form direction of the supersoul. The supersoul is within our heart, and sometimes the supersoul gives direction, gives some intelligent guidance. So the form of the words, the direction, the super soul will give a direction or guidance. It will come through the intelligence. The intelligence will have some conception. Of course, that realization, which is coming through intelligence, must be checked with Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. You may have a realization that we should sell cow dung fertilizer to raise money for Sankirtan, because we have a lot of cow dung in the Goshala. So everyone should do cow dung fundraising. You had some realization. You claim that as your realization, that if we collect all the cow dung and make these little patties, we can go out and make, 80 rupees on every 100, or whatever. So you ask your Gurudev, and he said, this is not a very high Krishna conscious realization. this is some fabrication of your mind. It is some imagination or speculation. So sometimes what we call, quote, an astounding and revelation or realization about Krishna consciousness is simply a mundane projection from our previous contamination of mind and senses. So one must be very careful. But we can understand that if one has a genuine realization about Krishna consciousness, that is a gift from the super soul. Tesham sarata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyanti te. Krishna dadami buddhi. Krishna gives that realization. Buddhi means realization. This is buddhi. Krishna gives that realization when the priti bhajan. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti bhajan priti bhajan. Bhajatam priti. So when your bhajan, when your service is done with when your chanting and taking prasadam is done with a spirit of service. Service means priti. Priti. Priti means love, affection. Only for my beloved, nothing for me. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. This is priti, this is love. So when one is serving in that way, one may get many realizations. And those realizations will be confirmed by Shastra and by Guru and Sadhu as being correct and absolute and transcendental and purifying and beneficial. And such realizations can be shared with others, and others will benefit by them and progress and advance in Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.